Thank you, praise team. A very appropriate song to sing as we are going to be turning to Psalm 100. And the picture of our series right there, Psalms, Hymns, Spiritual Songs. I was out walking last night and the sky was amazing. I don't know if anybody's been out lately, but it was just super clear. You could see the stars. And I thought about the ancient psalmists and songwriters would have seen a sky like that. They would have been out there, and it would have been magnificent, it would have been incredible, and they would have been thinking about Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And we get to worship that same awesome Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. So today we come to the end of our psalm series, and I have kind of the easy job, really, of wrapping it up with a psalm about thanksgiving. So I don't have to talk about vindication. I don't have to talk about all kinds of terrible things because, you know, Mark took care of all that last week. And Carol talked about emotion and theology and how all that's wrapped up together. So those guys did all the heavy lifting. I just get to end the series on a positive note with this amazing Psalm 100 about just our joy in the Lord. So let's go ahead and read that together. We have a slide right here. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And you can leave that up there, because this is a mini message. It's kind of a short message, because following me, we're going to have three people share testimonies about the women's retreat, the student retreat, and the men's retreat, and we're going to give thanks with them for all that God did through those retreats. We thought that would be a good Sunday to have that element because of where we are as biannual Sunday and remembering God's presence with us throughout the year, anticipating what God's going to do in the next year. And so, but let me share with you some insights that I gleaned from Psalm 100. First of all, it's obviously a song of celebration and thanksgiving. The author tells us, hey, this is all for giving grateful praise. This is what this psalm's about. And so you can picture people entering in to the sanctuary, coming up through Jerusalem and worshiping together in this psalm. There's six powerful action words that the writer uses to describe our worship. And the first one is shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout, right? And there's the Hebrew people were an earthy people. They were a loud people who liked to proclaim their worship to the Lord. And they're a dancing kind of people, too. So there's nothing polite about this word in the original language. There's nothing contemplative about it. There's nothing half-hearted about this word, shout. There's nothing very controlled about it. It is what it says it is. It is a shout to the Lord. And you think about the times that we shout. What are the times that you generally are shouting? You can... Seahawks games, football games. What's that? Huh?
Loud environments.
Loud environments. You're shouting over other people. What else? I can't. You're
at church
somewhere. That's okay. All right. That's where we're heading. So
traffic.
Traffic, right? So times we're shouting when we shouldn't be shouting, times we're shouting because we're in an environment where people are shouting. We don't always shout at church, though, unless it's Youth Sunday. And then the youth do a really good job of leading us in some loud proclamation of worship. But, you know, it tells us right here to basically raise the roof, right? It tells us to shout. So I want you to stand with me, and I want to shout for the Lord. Let's do that. And if it feels uncomfortable, good. Oh. Yeah, I want us to shout to the Lord. And so everybody standing? So you're not going to remember anything I say today, I know that. But you're going to remember that today you came to church and you shouted to the Lord, right? So let's shout, I love you, Jesus, on the count of three. You ready? One, two, three. I love you, Jesus. Woohoo, yes. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, look at that. You're standing and you're shouting. Okay, you can be seated now. Back to being more contemplative, but see? So, didn't that feel good? You just wanted to keep shouting, didn't you? It's like, boy, I could get used to this. But that's what the scripture says. You know, we generally take the word literally, and so we took it literally right there, and we shouted to the Lord. The second word here says, worship the Lord with gladness. And what I find interesting about the Hebrew language is that the word for worship and the word for service are the same word. And so this idea that you're worshiping God and it is your faithful service to God, and that you're serving God, and that that is your worship to God, and the two are just inseparable. And we sometimes separate those in our minds, say, okay, I'm going to worship, then I'm going to serve. Well, in the Lord's mind, those are the same thing. They're all mixed in together. And so you think about, okay, when I'm worshiping, I really am serving God and serving those around me, and I should have a worshipful heart as I'm serving. This has been a weekend where our deacons and deaconesses have really served us, and they've been working hard for days to get ready for the picnic, and we're very appreciative of them. Give them a big hand, the deacons and deaconesses. Yes, thank you. They put in some sweat equity, and they're ready for a great picnic, and so hopefully they were worshiping, and so we're worshiping right there with them. So that's important to know. So when we go home today, we've shouted to the Lord. We don't want to shout at our spouse. We don't want to shout at our loved ones. We don't want to shout at the dog. We want to love the Lord, and we want to serve him faithfully. Some of you, though, have a dog that maybe needs to be shouted at, and that's your personal business. The third powerful word here describing our kind of worship here is come before him with joyful songs. Come before him. It was a big deal in the Old Testament to approach God. That was a big deal. And people came with fear and trembling. And you think about some of the imagery of the Old Testament, a fire, you know, a mountain. Here's God's powerful voice. And God, there's a power to God. There's a seriousness to God that when we approach him, we should really do it carefully, knowing he's Almighty God and we're not. But then we look at some of the verses from the New Testament, like in Hebrews, and it tells us we can approach God with confidence and assurance. You see, the King has invited us into worship. Is that not the coolest thing in the world? The King has invited us in, and so we can come in and commune with him. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion together. That's because the Lord has invited us in to have communion with him. The fourth word is know that the Lord is good. This is the center of the psalm, the main thought. We think about Yahweh, God, the one true God, the creator, the King of kings, that he made us. We are his. He's the good shepherd. We're his sheep. We're in a protected pasture because we trust him as our shepherd and our king. So the only barrier, really, between us and the Lord is our own lack of faith and obedience. He's done everything to bring himself to us, and so we can know him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what we're worshiping today. A fifth word is enter his gates and his courts with thankful praise. And so you can picture yourself in the Old Testament times. You can picture yourself walking through the gates of the city, walking through the gates of the temple, into the outer courts, into the inner courts, to the very holy of holies where God is present, and God inviting us into that place. And we can picture Jesus dying on the cross and the curtain being torn down, torn in two, because we have full access into the presence of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's a powerful word to think about how we're entering into this worship experience with the Lord, right into the gates, right into his courts, to give thanks. And that's the sixth word. And that sums it all up, doesn't it? To give thanks. The only thing really left to do in worship is to thank the Lord, to thank him for his goodness, thank him for his greatness, thank him for his love, thank him for his mercy, thank him for his justice, thank him for who he is in your life, that he answers your prayers, that he never leaves you or forsakes you. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. That's why we can give thanks. He's good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. He's uber dependable, our Lord. So my only question to myself as I read this psalm is, am I loud enough? Am I half-hearted in my worship, or am I all in my worship of the Lord? And I don't have to be loud all the time to be heard by the Lord, but am I all in? Am I half-hearted or am I full-hearted in my commitment and worship of the Lord? And I could be more all in, and I want to do that. So that's a word from the psalm to me. And the other one is, do my worship and my service match? Am I really thoughtful about when I'm serving that I'm worshiping, and then when I'm worshiping, I'm serving? Am I making that connection in my mind? And then a third application for myself is that this talks about a worship where the nations are invited in. The Gentiles are invited. We're all invited in. So if God is present in our worship experience as he is, then I can be inviting some of those people out there in to join me here today so they can enjoy the Lord. And so worship can be a witness to people when they see true worshipers and they say, wow, there's something happening there that I want to have a part of my life. You ever pray for someone that doesn't know the Lord? They can be so touched that they start crying because it's so tender and it's so sweet and it's so personal. And so that's another word from the Lord to me is that I want to invite people in to experience the Lord with me. Would you pray with me? I told you it was short. Lord God, thank you for this Psalm 100. Thank you for your powerful word to us. We've really enjoyed this series on Psalms. Thank you, Lord, for the full expression of emotion and theology that has gone on throughout this series. And we recognize, Lord, that we can come to you whether we're hurting, we're lamenting, we're crying out, we're in need, or we're expressive in our joy and our thanks and our praise. And so, Lord, we want to come to you as the psalmist did, wherever we are, and know that you're present. Thank you for the access you give us to yourself. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.